Amen. I really appreciated that selection this morning, brother. New one in there, and really a blessing to just take time to remind our hearts and focus on the Lamb who is slain to purchase our redemption. I love the song. Just thought of what came into my mind. It was slightly one word different, but when Pilate brings Jesus out scourged with a purple robe on and a crown of thorns pounded down on his head, and he said, "Behold the man." And this is the extent that was needed to purchase our redemption and our forgiveness. Let's open with prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for the Lamb of glory, the Lamb that was slain on our behalf. Lord, your sacrifice that is completed and finished and doesn't lack anything. Father, I pray this morning as we open your word, as we look into it, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would encourage us, and that you would challenge us where we need to be challenged. Father, help us this morning to be honest with our own selves and be honest with you, and to be honest before your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to look, probably begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the books that, aside from the Bible, has probably been the most influential in my personal walk with Christ through the years has been Hinds Feet on High Places. And there's so much depth in those pages, in that allegory, that I've read it through, oh, probably at least half a dozen times in my life, if not more, and each time when I come back to read it again, wow, there's things in there I forgot, and there's depth there that I, you know, often don't even remember and give it credit for. But one of the things, if you've read the book, you'll know that it's an allegory of the Christian life. And in that allegory, there's a young girl, which is a type of the Christian, who is just weak in the faith and kind of not really established in the things of the Lord. And she begins a journey to leave behind the valley of fears and troubles and worries and doubts, not troubles per se, but worries and doubts and fears, and to go with her shepherd, which I imagine you can figure out what the type is there, it would be Christ, to journey to the high places, to be made more like him. And along the way, there are different lessons that she learns. And the first lesson that she learns is acceptance with joy. And I want to look this morning at that concept, not based off of that book, but based off of the Word of God. The idea of accepting with joy what God allows in our lives. Not just accepting, but accepting with joy. And our brother Aaron touched on this a little when he was going through Psalm 119. But I think it bears revisiting, and it's been something that I think we as human beings do well to come back around and remind ourselves again and again. So let's begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. He says, "Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore." Which would mean always. regularly for the rest of your life. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17, to clarify that he's not in any way saying that you're never going to have troubles for the rest of your life, pray without ceasing. Prayer is going to be the lifeline through which you're going to receive the grace and strength needed to be able to rejoice evermore. So, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me? That in everything, everything, I would give thanks. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Same idea, rejoice evermore. Here he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or fretful and worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What happens when we do this? The following verse tells us, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's will, as stated here in the book of Thessalonians, God's will for you and for I is that we give thanks in every situation. That we give thanks in every situation. Because when we do, the peace of God that passes all understanding guards our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. If you truly, with an open heart and a wholehearted reality, and not just putting it on, but if you truly thank God in every situation, it will remind your heart and your mind that He's in control. If He's in control, what do I have to worry about? The peace of God fills my heart and my mind if and when I remember that God's in control. Here He instructs us that the way to do that is to give thanks in every situation. Rejoice evermore. He starts in Philippians here by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Not just the good times, not just the fun times, but rejoice in the Lord always. And in case any of you in the back didn't hear, again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, these two passages very clearly indicate that this is not based on a perfect life without troubles. Because here in Philippians, he says, don't worry, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So clearly, if you are needing to be told not to worry, not to fret, not to be full of care, and you're going to need to be continually in prayer and supplication, which is a deeper level of prayer, of pleading with God and imploring Him for mercy and grace and help. Clearly, it's not because everything is just going to float along perfectly smooth for the rest of your life. And if you've lived for more than a couple of days, you're going to know that's not reality. Life is difficult. Life hurts many times. It's hard. It's promised us that it will be hard. Jesus promised us in one spot, he's giving a whole list of blessings to those who have left all to follow him. And he's going down the list of blessings, and right in the middle of the list of blessings, he says, with persecutions. That's to be expected. It's normal. That's going to be part of your life. That does not change the rejoice in the Lord always. That does not change the rejoice evermore. But he says rather here, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Those things need to be joined together and married together. You ask for what you need. You pray for strength. You pray for grace. But don't forget, as you're doing that, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you do, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God comes through thanking God, even when things are difficult. It comes through being joyful and being thankful and giving praise, even through the dark times. That is how the peace of God rules and grows and abounds in our hearts. That is how the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, he says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in the previous two verses that we've looked at, he said, give thanks in all things. But here he takes it a step further. And he says, give thanks for all things. How can I give thanks for all things? Well, it goes back to the first verse we read, verse 17. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in Thessalonians 4:3, he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So God's will is, one, that in everything we give thanks, and two, our sanctification. So if you understand that God's purpose is to sanctify and purify you, then everything that comes along that fulfills and works towards that purpose, you ought to be thankful for. So he starts by saying, don't be unwise, don't be foolish, but understand the purpose God is working towards in your life is sanctification. The purpose God is working towards in your life is holiness. So every time that a fire begins to purge and to purify, every time a difficulty comes along, it's accomplishing that purpose. So no, I don't like the fire, but yet if I remind myself, if I remember that it is accomplishing the purpose and the will of God, then I can be thankful not only in all things, but for all things. Because if God allowed this to come into my life to purge and to purify me, that means if I respond correctly, I will become more like Him. And that is the ultimate goal, after all. To become more
like Christ. If I look at it in relation to the pain, the difficulty, the suffering, the discomfort, the things I don't like, it's pretty hard to be thankful, not only in all things, but especially for all things. I can tolerate things, but you expect me to be thankful for it? Yes, because of the goal and the purpose of God that is being fulfilled through it. God has a goal and a purpose and an end that He wants to bring you and I to. And this is the means. So yes, be thankful for the means that gets you to the end that God wants you to get to. Now this isn't easy to do. This isn't by any means something that we can do in our own strength. But yet, it is something that we are called and commanded to do. It takes place in our hearts by obedience to verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit and letting Him rule and reign and fill and change and wash and cleanse every part. And then He says that it also can be brought to pass in your life. Here's some practical advice. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's pretty hard to sing and speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, and genuinely do that without your heart being raised in thanksgiving. Without being reminded, oh yeah, this is difficult, but God is still so good to me. This is difficult, but it's nothing compared to what He freely and gladly suffered on my behalf. This is hard to accept, but yet I know it's going to make me more like Christ. As Job said, when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold. The trying isn't pleasant, but yet I can remind myself, based on the Word of God, that it is working towards a very good, a very profitable, and a very worthwhile end. And it is working towards completing and fulfilling the will of God in my life. God's will is my sanctification. God's will is that I be like His Son. God's will is to make me holy. So yes, the individual circumstances of this situation, yeah, they don't feel nice. That's because it's killing my old man. It's killing my flesh. It's straining against all of those natural inclinations and desires and all of those things that, you know, I naturally look out for myself. You naturally look out for yourself. You naturally, the most basic human instinct is self-preservation. But God is calling us through the power of the Holy Spirit to go beyond that basic human inclination and be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And my preservation, my comfort, isn't my ultimate goal anymore. My ultimate goal is that the will of God would be completed and fulfilled in my life. My ultimate goal is that I would be like Christ. If you have been redeemed and washed and cleansed and forgiven, the fruit that flows out of that ought to be more and more of an increasing desire for the things God desires. More and more of an increasing desire to walk His ways, to be like Christ, You should more and more, the longer you walk with God, cry out with Paul, "This is my one and only purpose in life, that I might know Him intimately and be conformed to His image, that I might be like Him." I love that old song, "Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee." This is the true heart cry of every born-again disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, to be like Him. I don't fulfill that perfectly by a mile. But yet, that should be the longing of my heart always. Lord, I want to be more like You. Oh, make me and conform me more to Your image. Whatever that takes, I am determined to accept with joy, because I know that it's working in me a good thing. It's working in me more of the likeness of Christ. And that is the greatest treasure that can ever be put in this earthly vessel, is the treasure of the life of Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. No little dirt vessel is ever going to have anything more valuable in it than the life of Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, what a goal and a lofty aim for us dirty little clay earthly vessels to be filled with the life of Christ. There is no higher aim that we could possibly aspire to. So as we see and we feel and we experience these difficulties coming in our lives, these pains, these hardships, whatever they may be, not only in every one of them give thanks, but for every one of them give thanks, because it is going to work the will of God in you. It's going to conform you to the image of Christ if you respond correctly. It's going to work God's work in you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and particularly in my little earth as it is in heaven. Your will be perfected in me, in my little world as it is in heaven. Job, in verse 2, Job chapter 2, verse 10, he says, when his wife says to him, "Curse God and die," he says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we not receive or literally accept good at the hand of God? Shall we accept good at the hand of God? And shall we not accept evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? He says, I am accepting whatever God brings my way. If I'm going to gladly accept the good things and the blessings that come with following God and following His way, then I must also gladly accept the difficulties, the hardships, because they also are God's will for me. Nothing is allowed to happen in my life that is not allowed by God, and that is going to work out His purposes. Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that all things, every single one, work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. that love God and are called according to His purpose. Every one of them is working towards this end goal of God to fulfill His will in my life and make me like Christ. So yes, I will accept whatever God sends my way. The blessings are great. There are so many blessings in the Christian life that just are overwhelming when you try to wrap your mind around the blessings and the goodness that is yours solely on the finished work of Christ that you have no merit to receive. But as much as you're willing and happy to accept those things, if you're going to accept those things, Job says, you better be ready to accept the others too. Because if you're going to take what God gives you, you have to take all that God gives you. We don't get to pick and choose. You're either going to walk God's path, God's way, every day, or you're going to walk your own way and pretend to walk God's way sometimes, or maybe not even pretend after a while. But if you're going to walk God's way, you have to accept what comes from His hand, the good and the bad. One man put it this way. He said, if you're going to say, where He leads me, I will follow, you better be ready to say, what He feeds me, I will swallow. I will be thankful for whatever God brings my way because I know that He knows best. Not only thankful in everything that comes my way, but thankful for everything that comes my way. That's even more difficult. But that is what we are commanded to do in the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That has got to be one of the verses in the Bible that grates against our natural inclination more than anything else. Count it all joy. Literally be ecstatic and excited and bouncing off the walls when you fall into lots of different kinds of difficulties. What? Knowing this. Here's why. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is the outcome of this lifestyle? Of counting it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, it works patience, and patience will perfect you. Patience will bring you bit by bit to the point where you will be perfect and entire, lacking nothing spiritually. Wow! What an incredible promised outcome. Is it worth the sufferings and the difficulties, the trials of our faith, to be perfect and entire, lacking nothing? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's an incalculable worth. Not just to be better than you are today, not just to be better than you were yesterday, but to be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing spiritually. That is the goal God is working us towards, and His way of doing that is through the trying of our faith, through difficulties, through diverse temptations. Because of the goal that it's working us towards, we are called repeatedly throughout the Old and New Testament to count it all joy. To accept it with thanksgiving, to accept it with joy, to say, thank you, Lord, that you haven't quit working on me. Thank you, Lord, that you're still striving with me. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is when God says, my spirit will not always strive with mankind. Because God forbid that he ever ceases to strive with me. Because I am 100% lost forever in that moment. If God ever ceases to strive with me, to purify me, to draw me after himself, to make me into the image of Jesus Christ. If he quits poking and prodding and testing and trying and applying the flame and the hardships and the difficulties, woe is me. Woe is me, because God gave up on me. And if God gave up on me, there's no hope. But my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Because it will be worth it. It is the means God uses to conform you to the image of Christ. And that is uncountable worth. In Psalms 119, I want to touch briefly on a couple of verses in Psalms 119. Verse 67 and 68, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I had difficulties and hardships arise in my life, I went astray. That's our natural inclination as human beings. We naturally go astray. To the point where Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the psalmist here says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's how we humans naturally are. But now, after, since I've been afflicted, since God has begun to purge me through difficulties, now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Do you think the psalmist had a desire to follow God before this affliction? Yes, I believe so. But yet, his flesh was stronger. Through the affliction, he was purified. Through the difficulties and the problems, he was purified and made more and more like Christ. And now, he says, now in comparison to where I was then, now I keep your word. It's valuable to me. It's worth protecting. And I hang on to it. I trust in it. I stay on it. I depend on it. I lean on it. I hang on to it tenaciously as a life raft, because that's exactly what it is. In verse 68 he says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. He says here, this is his attitude. Yes, I've had difficulties. I've had affliction. But you know what that proves to me? The fact that God allowed affliction to come in my life, that proves to me that God is good and does good, because he's brought things along to purify me, to make me more in his image. He didn't allow me to continue to just wallow all of my life in this stage of where I used to be, of going astray constantly. But he purged me, and he brought that rod. He brought affliction. He brought the fire. He brought the trials. And he's purged me and cleansed me. And now I have learned to value and cling to his word. My takeaway from that is, thou art good and doest good. Everything you do is good and right skip on down just a couple more verses. In verse 71, he says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." It is good for me. Yeah, it's not always easy to swallow, but it's good for you. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It was good for me. You are good, and you do good. And Father, with thankfulness and with joy, I accept everything that you bring my way. I accept it with thanksgiving, with prayer, with supplication. God's not asking us to pretend that things don't hurt. He's not asking us to just float up above them and pretend that they're not real. He's not asking us to be actors. But he's asking us and he's commanding us that we look beyond the pinch of the pain to what it is working in us. And this is growing in maturity, to be able to look at those difficulties and say, it was good for me. I didn't like it very much, but it was good for me. And I'm thankful for it. God, you are good, and you do good. I'm thankful for the difficulties you've allowed in my life, and you've brought in my life. And I count it all joy, because it is working your purposes in me. I don't pretend by any means to have this down pat myself, but I challenge each one of us, myself included, to develop this attitude more and more. Father, thank you that I've got difficulties. I know you have a purpose. I know you're in control. I know you see all. I know you know all. As Job said, he knows the steps that I take. He knows exactly where I am. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that is worth it. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be challenged and reminded and inspired to let the peace of God keep our hearts and minds, to be thankful, to accept with joy, with thanks, with praise, with singing, whatever you allow in our lives, knowing the purpose and the value of them, and knowing your love for us. Father, help us to be as a child, fully aware of our utter reliance on you. And Lord, that we would simply take whatever you give us, whatever you allow to come our way, with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.